And the gospel lesson is from Luke chapter 2, and this is when Jesus is at the temple as a 12-year-old. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. And after the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends, and when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I'd have to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So it's a new year, 2019. The more it gets closer to 20, I always think it's kind of like a science fiction date. 2020 is going to be interesting. To 2019, so we say thank you, 2018. Some of you might be saying, good riddance. I didn't have a good year. Some of you might be saying, I really didn't have a good year in 2018. Or some of you might be saying, some of it was good, some of it was not so good. But we look back and we do thank God that we're still here and going forward and setting goals for 2019. You know, the old saying is, we don't know what tomorrow will bring, but we know in whose hand it lays. And we trust that 2019 will be a good year. Amen. So I think it's beautiful that we read the gospel and it says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. And it was a little sarcastic note from a 12-year-old to his parents. Where else would I be but in my father's house? You know, I always think I think that's why it also says, but he was obedient to his parents. But he's a typical 12-year-old. But I love that he grew in wisdom and in knowledge. And he was listening to teachers. He wanted to grow and learn. And it said that he grew in wisdom through the years. And I think it's beautiful that our Savior grew in wisdom through the years. And I invite you to do the same. To write down on your New Year's resolutions paper, without any names, things you want to improve in your life, hopes and dreams, goals, and that you can bring them up at the close of the service or just hand them to me on the way out if you'd like. And I will pray over them. No names, but to set goals. I think it's important for us to understand that it's good to have New Year's resolutions, to want to change and to improve. I know the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting different results. That's the definition of insanity. So if you want change in your life, you have to trust that with God it's possible. There has to be a shift to trusting in God. And I love this saying, God allows U-turns. The prodigal son was off track, and then he learned the hard way, and he turned back. He turned around, and he returned home to his father. His dad ran to him. But I wanted to lift up some of the most popular New Year's resolutions. You know, the top three are eat healthier, exercise more, and save money. And so, you know, lose weight is in there. That's tough to do at this time of year. I like the old saying. It was a big, heavy pastor that once said he had a big stomach and he was padding and he says, If the body is the temple of God, I'm building a basilica, is what he said. I'll say that. But you know, setting goals and not giving up, I think it's important for us to either get rid of bad habits, take on a good habit. But you know that it's rare that any of the resolutions have anything to do with God at all. Isn't that strange that you would go into the new year and on the list there's no mention of God or your walk with Christ or your faith? God is not on any lists, and I think that has something to do with why by mid-February 80% of New Year's resolutions have already been broken. It doesn't take long for us to break our resolutions. I think on your paper, if you can write, and you're here on your last Sunday of this year, that you could write, honor the Sabbath, that you make a point that you don't miss church. I really applaud you for being here today. You could have slept in, you could have, I don't know, done a lot of things at the house, clean up after the family gatherings and all of that. But you said, I got to get to church. I know good things happen when I get to church and I hear God's word. And so we turn to the Bible to hear 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter writes, therefore, gird up the loins. Don't you love that? Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And he's quoting Leviticus chapter 11, where God says, for I am Yahweh who brought you up from the land of Egypt to be your God, so you must be holy because I am holy. And so I want to lift up to you on your paper that you could write, be holy. And holiness, or the word holy, means to be set apart. Everybody else might be going a certain way. You decide, I am a child of God. I'm seeking to be faithful. I want to be holy as Christ is holy. I want to be set apart for God's work. I want to belong to God. If you can write, belong to God. Because we can have all these particular things we'd like to change in our lives, but if God's not part of it, it's like the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. So today's the day to evaluate your faith and to write down, be holy, belong to God. Just give your life to Christ. And you know how much I love acronyms. Frog is fully rely on God. Push is pray until something happens, right? We know what KISS is. We don't have to say that, right? K-I-S-S. But there's other ones. Joy, we know. Jesus, others, yourself. That's the order. But holy, if you like country music, then you know Florida Georgia Line. They have a song that's called Holy. And it sounds like a church song because you hear holy, holy. After it's almost like a choir singing it. And it means high on loving you. That's what holy means, the acronym, high on loving you. And if you can just make the you God, then you have this natural high. So high on loving you. And the other acronym that you could use is he only loves you. That's holy. And then having our lives yielded. Having our lives yielded is holy. And so we turn to the good book, Colossians 3, where Paul is reaching out to the early church in Colossae, and it's a place that they're hearing all these other earthly human philosophies and teachings, and someone's teaching something called Gnosticism, which is a Greek word for knowledge, and they're teaching that if you're smart enough, if you know this secret knowledge, then you actually can know salvation, and you actually, it's salvation by your own doing, not by grace and grace alone. So he's trying to teach what Christian theology is really all about to the people in this small church in Colossae. So he writes a letter to the Colossians, and he's trying to have them reset their thinking. And he says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. So the way I interpret that, it's very practical. It's keep your head up. Don't look down on things of the earth that can bring you down. Look up to God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And I don't know about you, but if I'm driving, anywhere I look, that's where the car... I saw a deer the other day, and I went, oh, a deer. And I was like, I had to catch myself. Because wherever you're looking, you usually will go that direction. And so the lesson from this is, you got to look to God. You got to set your mind and your heart on things above. And you can tell when you don't do that, when you're down and your head's down and you're only looking at the things of the earth and you're not looking at, and we sang some Easter hymns today, because every Sunday is Christmas and every Sunday is Easter. We don't just, it's not just twice a year. We believe that our Savior was born, He lived and He died and He taught us how to live and He rose from the dead. And we can look beyond the here and now when we look to heaven. So it's not an easy thing to do. In fact, I love when Paul in Romans 7, because I can relate to this, because when I say live holy and godly lives, you need to say, but Pastor John, that's hard to do, right? If you think it's easy, then you're wrong. As soon as you try to follow the Lord, the devil knows that and will come knocking, because you have to change your, another acronym is AWOL. In the program, it's another way of life, right? You can't say, I can still hang out at the bar. I won't drink. I can stay hang out with my old friends who drink, but I won't drink. And the old saying is, if you hang around the barbershop long enough, you're going to get a haircut, right? That's just a given. So if you've given yourself to Christ and the old self is gone and the new self comes, you have to work at feeding that new self. You can't just do the same things that you've normally done and think it's going to be an easy path. Come to church, hear the Word of God, pray every day, trust in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And we turn, in Romans 7, Paul says this, and I can relate. He says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. Can anybody relate to that? Somebody here this morning that's struggling and they have a hard time talking to God because they go, I'm just in this pattern and I'm struggling because I just want to be better. Sometimes we're like this. We just hope that the trajectory is, even if it's a roller coaster, it's still heading up, right? And I love the t-shirt that says, don't give up on me. I'm a work in progress. God loves me and I'm a work in progress. So I hope you don't give up on yourself as you go into this new year. You look at these rules for holy living on Colossians 3, and this can tell us how we're doing. If we read this, and you know, I thank you for praying for my brother, Shaw. I saw him a couple times this week. He's in a rehab. It's been over a month now. And he fell from my mother's roof over two stories. He's a miracle to be alive. He's literally broken all over. But he's going to make it. He's lost a lot of weight. If you don't get out of bed and move, you don't move your muscles atrophy very quickly. He literally lost close to 30 pounds. A lot of it's muscle. And he looks so different. And so my other brother, who's a year older than me, Herb, he and I have been the tough love guys. We've been pushing him to get out of bed and to do physical therapy, but he's sleeping all the time. And just the other day, I said, Shaw, I'm sorry if we're too tough on you. We just don't want you to give up. And he turned, he said, I'm not giving up. But it's, you know, every time you come to church, you're going to hear the Word of God. And I want you to know that this is like a spiritual therapy. You know, physical therapists, the best PT folks are the ones that really push. They say, you can't stay in bed and expect to get better. You have to do what you have. You have to keep moving, and you have to keep pushing the limits and understand. And so I'm your spiritual therapist, right? I'm saying you can't just be the same. God's wanting more for you in this coming year. And so we read the scripture, and Paul is reminding the Colossians to fully rely on Christ. And the metaphor of clothe yourselves with Christ is so beautiful because I'm looking out. There's no naked people that I can see here, right? You decided today what to put on. Maybe you closed your eyes and just grabbed something, you threw it on, I don't know. But you said, I'm wearing these clothes. You decided. No one said, you know, you're going to wear that red shirt today or that checkered shirt or whatever it is. No, maybe you do have a helper that says, here, put this on. But mostly, you decide. And it's the same way spiritually. And I love the story of the family that came to church, and they were a little impoverished. And they, back in the day, as you can probably, a lot of you can remember, when people really dressed up for church. And the younger kids, when they dress up for church, I'm like, and I never disparage any of the kids who just come with a t-shirt, whatever. I never say, but I really lift up the kids that might have a tie. And I say, you're looking sharp. You're looking great. Dressed to impress. Dressed to meet God, to meet Jesus. But there was this family, you know, years ago, more people did that. And there was a family that stopped coming because they didn't have enough money for church clothes. And so the Methodist pastor took a little collection and went out to see them and gave them some money so they could buy some, you know, nice church clothes. And so next Sunday they didn't show up. The next Sunday they didn't show up. Next Sunday, finally he drives out to the house and says, what happened? We took that collection for you to buy some church clothes and we thought we would see you in church. And the mother said, oh, well, you gave us so much money and that we could afford such fancy clothes. We went to the Episcopal Church. Which is a little bit fancier than us Methodists, right? But I want us to, you can bring up the next slide. I think the next slide is John Travolta, Saturday Night Fever, 1977. I was 15 years old. And you know that I wanted to look like John Travolta. I told my mother, please buy these clothes. I wish to wear them. How many people look back at the 70s and you're like, ouch, that hurts to see yourself in clothes that you decided to wear that do not look that good. They're not that flattering. This week we watched, you remember slideshows? My parents have tons of slides. And so we sat there and we watched slides and we hit the 70s. And I see myself, I'm like, ouch, that, because I'm dressed like this. I'm dressed like John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever. And I shake my head, say, I blame my mother. I'm like, Mom, why did you let me do that? And we're still waiting for them to come back in fashion sometime, but that, I don't know. But I know it's so important for us to understand, what do we put on spiritually? Because Paul is actually talking to people in Colossae. Actually was a wool center. They produced wool for clothes all around. And so they could understand this metaphor. And so I think it's so beautiful that we read this because you can understand. There's times when you really want to dress up. And you want to look your best and you feel better because of the way you're prepared and you actually are thoughtful. Spiritually, it's the same way. Do you really think about how you leave your house? There was a man that said every time he puts his socks on in the morning, he says a little prayer because he has to put his socks on. And so if you have a routine in the morning and you're putting your clothes on, start thinking about how am I leaving the house? Am I clothing myself with compassion and with gentleness and humility and love? And a lot of time we just rush out the door and we don't think about how are we preparing ourselves spiritually. And it makes me also think about the clothes my brother's been wearing for the last month. It's been the Johnny. Actually, I looked in, why do they call this Johnny? You know, And I always think they could do a lot better. If you've ever been in the hospital, that it just reveals everything, right? The wind blows and there you are for all to see. Do you know that it originated in New England that it was a gown that you could go to the John easily wearing? I think that's where. At least that's what Google said this morning when I looked it up. But you know, I was thinking about how beautiful our Savior came into the world and was wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger, humbly clothed in a place, not in a palace, but in a manger. And then when he grew up, he was a mason. He either was a stonemason or a carpenter. The word is that he was a laborer and he probably wore work clothes, that he got dirty. humbly working with his hands for many years. Then he began his ministry, and then at the end of his three-year ministry, he climbed the Mount of Transfiguration, and Peter, James, and John saw his clothes dazzling, bright, like lightning. He revealed through his clothes his divinity. And then you notice that in his humility, he let the soldiers take his clothes and they gambled for them while he laid naked on the cross. And then he resurrected and he left his grave clothes in the tomb. When he came out and Mary saw him, thought he was the gardener, he was clothed again like a man of that time. But I only tell you this today because what's your wardrobe? What are you putting on? You choose. Are you going to be a person of faith every day? Or are you going to put on, he says, take off arrogance and selfishness and self-centeredness and put on humility and compassion and kindness. Bear with one another and love one another as I've loved you. Forgive as I've loved you. And love and put on love which binds them all together. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. It says, let the word of God, let the word of Jesus dwell in you richly. You get to choose that in the coming year. So we have two prayers I want to lift up. One is, I promise to you at this year at some point, we're going to give you a little prayer that's laminated because it needs to be waterproof that you hang in your shower. I assume that most of you bathe or shower at some point. Mostly in the morning when you wake up and you get ready for the day and you have your routine, it's going to hang from your shower head. And Adam Hamilton's a pastor in Kansas at the Church of the Resurrection. It's a United Methodist church. And he came up with this prayer that I'm just going to pray with you. Because if you get in that shower, because you're starting the day, you need to remember your baptism. Right? That you belong to God, you've given your life to Christ, you belong to God, and you see these words, which is a prayer you can say for the day. And you're going to get this prayer one way. So one way or another, we're going to type it out and laminate it or buy them. It says, Lord, as I enter the water to bathe, I remember my baptism. Wash me by your grace. Fill me with your spirit. Renew my soul. I pray that I might live as your child today and honor you in all that I do. Amen? Because you can't, you know, once the soap gets out of your eyes and you're like this, that prayer is going to be right there. It's going to remind you to clothe yourself with Christ for the day. And so what we're going to do, we have a lot of prayers, but we're going to go right to John Wesley's covenant prayer. And we have it up on the screen, but we also can turn. Who has the page number again? 607. So this is what John Wesley, who I'm named after, the founder of the Methodist Church, would pray this prayer at a watch night service that I remember when I was a kid. We'd have those in our church. This prayer would be prayed before the, at the New Year's service or the last Sunday before the New Year. Because none of you really know what this year is going to hold. I hope you have hope, but I hope you know that with God all things are possible, and greater is He who's in you than he who's in the world, and that you can do all things through Him who strengthens you, that you can enter into this new year without stress and worry. You know, don't put on stress, don't put on worry, put on trust and faith in Jesus, and that God's got plans for you. Surrender yourself to Christ. Get outside of yourself. Lose yourself by just trusting that you belong to God. So during the closing song, we're going to have I have an old offering plate right here. And if you are able to walk forward, we'll use the plate. Because what you're doing is you're offering yourself to the Lord. And if you'd like to do that anytime, you can come up after the service if you'd like, but Let's join together. We're going to say this together, a covenant prayer in the Wesleyan tradition that he wrote a couple hundred years ago. Let's pray this prayer. Let's bow our heads, and then we'll close with the Lord's Prayer. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee or brought low by thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine. So be it. In the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. And dear Lord, we ask you to bless all your prayers, all of our prayers that we lift up to you, spoken and unspoken. Thank you for the church and for 2018, for the lives that you've touched here in this place, your grace that was experienced here, people who have dedicated their lives to you, people who have been healed from broken hearts, people who have said yes to you and now are in mission to honor and glorify you. Lord, forgive us that we have not turned to you. We've turned to the world to show us the way. We thank you that you, all we have to do, Lord, in this year is just simply follow you and trust it's not a religion, it's a relationship, and that you love us even when we turn away and we go our own way. You keep calling us back to you. So thank you for your forgiveness, your grace and humility. Lord, we want to put on Jesus. We want to have him be our light and our salvation, and that we want to experience the peace that passes understanding for all those who have surrendered their lives to you. And so we recommit ourselves to you. But Lord, there's someone here this morning that I know that they're suffering and they're low and they're hurting and they're struggling in a way that maybe no one else knows. They might be lonely. They might be battling an addiction. They might be having family problems or emotional issues. They might be having issues at work or in their families, in their relationships. Lord, instill in their heart that they can honor and glorify you by just being hopeful, bringing humility into the situation, trusting that you are a great and mighty God, that this year will be an awesome year for those who trust and believe in you. And Lord, we pray for our country, we pray for the problems, but Lord, we pray that that which is in our own control, we ask you to bless our resolutions today, what we write down, and how they involve other people, that our holiness is not just personal holiness, but it's social holiness, and how we choose to follow you will make an impact on the world. As we pray your prayer saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Amen.